wide path leads to destruction, and lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. The people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts. Amen.
Welcome. You're listening to One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3. Your host today, again, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit called Legacy Educational Institute. We've had this nonprofit for approximately 14 years, and we've been doing this particular radio show called One Way Radio Network, and the website is One Way to Heaven. What does that mean? You can't get to heaven because you're a good old gal or a good old boy. There's not 50 ways. There's not 10 ways. There's not only one way, and that's through repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I do another radio show that some of you may listen on Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right on the same station, 790 a.m., and that website is LegacyFinancialService.com, LegacyFinancialService.com. If you go to that website and click on the affiliate button, you'll see six other websites, including OneWayToHeaven.com. So if you'd like to get some other educational information on financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, wealth planning, you need an investment or savings, you can go to that site. And lots of, that you could literally spend hours and hours on that particular site. So what we're going to talk about, at least on this first segment, and I'm recording this on Friday, of course you're listening on a Sunday morning, and you know what yesterday was? Yom Kippur. Yep, big celebration. So some of you may not even know that. What is the Day of Atonement? It's called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, where do I get that? Well, the source is the Bible, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Also known as Yom, some people say Kippur, but I pronounce it Kippur, was the most solemn holy day of the Israelite feast and festivals occurring once a year on the 10th day of Tishri, the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. On that day, the high priest was to perform elaborate rituals to atone for the sins of people. Do we have sins? Lots of them. Described in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 through 34, the atonement ritual began with who was the high priest? Aaron. Do you remember Aaron? Or subsequent high priests of Israel come into the Holy of Holies. Remember, once a year he could go in and ask for the forgiveness of the sins once a year. Now, because when you humble, repent, believe, receive, and become, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to go once a year to have your sins forgiven. By the Holy Spirit, those who confess their sins before him is righteous. Your sins will be cleansed of all unrighteousness. John 1:9 is the verse. So confession, you can confess daily your sins. The solemnity of the day was underscored by God telling Moses to warn Aaron not to come in the most holy place whenever he felt like it. He could only come on this special day once a year. Because if he didn't, guess what happened? He would die. It was not a ceremony to take in lightly. and the people to understand atonement for sin was to be done God's way. Before entering the tabernacle, Aaron was to bathe and put on special garments. And then, verse 4 says, sacrifice a bull for a sin offering for himself and his family. The blood of the bull was to be sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. Then Aaron was to bring two goats, one to be sacrificed because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites. Whatever their sins have been, that's in verse 16, his blood was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, when I was in Israel, I have the Ark of the Covenant in the lobby. Whatever their sins have been, verse 16, his blood was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. The other goat was used as a scapegoat. Aaron placed his hands on its head, confessed over the rebellion and wickedness of the Israelites, and sent the goat out with the appointed man who released it into the wilderness. That's in verse 21. The goat carried on itself all the sins of the people, which were forgiven for another year. The symbolic significance of this ritual, particularly the Christians, is seen first in what? Washing and cleansing of the high priest. The man who released the goat and the man who took the sacrifice animals outside the camp to burn carcasses. Israelite washing ceremonies were required often throughout the Old Testament and symbolized the need for mankind, you and me, to be cleansed of the sin of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But it wasn't until Jesus came to make that once and for all, thank God, sacrifice that the need for cleansing ceremonies ceased. Where? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, the blood of bulls and goats could only atone for sins if the ritual was continually done year after year. While Christ's sacrifice was sufficient for all the sins of whoever believed in him. When his sacrifice was made, he declared, it is what? Finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. He then sat down at the right hand of God, and no further sacrifice was ever needed. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. The sufficiency and completeness of the sacrifice of Christ is also seen in the two goats. The blood of the first goat was sprinkled on the ark, ritually appeasing the wrath of God for another year. The second goat removed the sins of the people into the wilderness where they were forgotten and no longer clung to the people. Sin is both propitiated, satisfied, and expiated God's way, only to be sacrifice of the Christ on the cross. Propitiation, that's satisfaction, is the act of the appeasing the wrath of God, while expiation is the act of atoning for sin and removing it from the sinner, you and me. Both together are achieved eternally by who? Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice. When he sacrificed himself on the cross, he appeased God's wrath against sin. Remember, he's fully God, fully man. Taking the wrath upon himself, since we have now been justified by his blood. There is no salvation without repentance or shedding of blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? That's in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. The removal of sin by the second goat was a living parable of the promises that God would remove our transgressions from us as far as the east from the west. Psalm 103, 112. He remembers them no more. He would remember them no more. And that's in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, 10, and 17. Jews today still celebrate the annual Day of Atonement, which falls on different days each year, September through October, traditionally observing a holy day with the 24-hour period of fasting and intensive prayer. Jews often spent most of the day in synagogue services. So that was a big celebration. What is the Day of Atonement? Yom Kippur. Very, very important day. Now, God wants all to come to repentance. And just because you're Jewish, you don't get to heaven. There's not two dispensations. There's only one. And that's your repentance and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the God. So let's talk about the secret of spending eternity in heaven. I usually talk about this every week. Because many people, like I said, 1,000 times, and they think if they stand in a garage and there's a car there, they'll become a car. Well, I'm being sarcastic there. But somehow they think if they go to church or they do this, they do that. And there's many people we're going to talk about next segment believe they're not even a sinner. They think they're pretty good. They really do. So the first step, there is no salvation without repentance. You have to recognize you're a sinner. So I always say the first step is you got to humble. James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord, He'll lift you up. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So humble, then ask for forgiveness. That's that godly sorrow. But the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short glory of God. Compared to a righteous holy God, you and I are filthy rags. So I cut through the chase. And if you don't recognize this, well, there's really a serious problem. We're, you and me, I'll speak for myself, we're scumbags compared to a righteous holy God. Once you repent, then you want to believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me as the God, because a lot of cults believe He's a God, so the fancy churchy words mean deity or hypostatic union, because a lot of cults, like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe He's the Son of God, but not the God. The God, deity. Then receive, and then the Lordship is become. You still have old nature, you have new nature. You will not get to heaven because you're a good old gal or a good old boy. Man's appointed once to die, then comes the judgment. It's not like taking a vacation, and you say you won't go there next year. So anyway, it was a very important day on Thursday for celebration, and I thought I'd explain to you what the word atonement is, as many people don't know what Yom Kippur means or anything about it. So you listen to One Way Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about, which we've talked about a lot, only one way to heaven. That's what we call it. OneWayToHeaven.com has all our contact information and our phone numbers, and I'll talk about some of the resources and give you our phone number when we come back. So please, it's an important message.
Retired or planning to retire soon? Do you want to save money by paying less on your taxes? Then let the experts at Legacy Financial show you how by visiting LegacyTaxBill.com right now. Use Legacy's Tax Bill Calculator. Fill in the value of your IRA, 401k, and other qualified plans. Retirement is something you've worked your whole life for, so don't let the IRS take that away. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com to schedule your free consultation.
Welcome back. You're listening to One Way Radio Network. Your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3. Legacy Educational Institute, you may want to stop by and get some of these resources. Where Legacy Educational Institute is located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA 16148. We're located in a development called Linden Point, where the fourth building on the left, catty corner from Butler County Community College, known as BC3. So if you're heading south on Route 18, past Staples, first traffic light, turn left. If you're coming the other way, heading north, you'll pass Sheets and Combine's Restaurant. Turn right at the next traffic light. It'll say a development called Linden Point, where the fourth building is on the left, and you'll see three signs there. Legacy Educational Institute, Innovation Tax Service, and Legacy Financial Services. I already gave you the website. Our phone number is 724-983-1617, 724-983-1617. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. I'll give you my cell, 724-699-7233. 3789. So we're giving out. There's more resources than this. Case for Christ, the condensed version by Lee Strobel. Biblical Answers About Heaven, Randy Elkhorn, the condensed version. The $1 trillion bill and the $1 million bill, these look like real bills, but don't try to cash them. I mean, people actually will not throw this away. But you know what's important about it? If you flip the bill over, you know what it has? The gospel message. Now, we can't convert anybody or convince anybody or save anybody. That's our job, is to tell. The Holy Spirit does the convicting, the converting, and the saving. So you can help us fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20 and Acts 1:8, by getting these resources. Read them yourself and then give them away to other people and say, look, I've read these. Make sure you've read it. And say, look, I'd like you to read these. I would value your opinion. Then pray for that individual. We have a lot more resources than that. You can stop by. They're in the foyer. There's no charge for them. If you can't make it, call our number at 724-983-1617 and go to our website. It has all our contact information, onewaytoheaven.com, and we'll be glad to mail them to you. And we'll even pay shipping and handling. Now, a lot of people don't want to know where I go to church, so once you humble, repent, believe, receive, and become, you want to get plugged into a Bible-based, Christ-centered, family-oriented church. The one I go to is Truth and Grace Fellowship, 786 Karen Lane, Hermitage, PA, 16148. Their website is Truth Grace Fellowship. Or go to YouTube or Facebook, just do a search area that you'll find some of the past services. They have services on Sunday morning from 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Then, do what? Start reading your Bible. Maybe start out with the book of John and Genesis. Prayer, fellowship, yes, Bible study, because you never, ever arrive. Remember, we still have old nature. You have new nature. The more you're obedient, the more God will reveal your word to it. You may not understand a word he's saying. I'm on my 40th time reading it. And if you see my index finger, and my thumb, they're almost touching. So I still know very little, but it's more than I knew before. I also have 36 hours in seminary. That will not get you into heaven, folks. Humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. There's only one way to heaven. So let's talk about it. There are a number of Bible verses that can fortify someone in the belief. And this is where Satan does his greatest work. They profess, do not possess, someone to believe that we have to do something good to enter heaven. A lot of people say, well, I hope to be in heaven. They want to hope so. No, you want to know so. Are you in that narrow road or that wide road? Jesus told a rich young ruler to do what? Sell all his goods to give to the poor, then follow him. If he did that, Jesus said he would have everlasting life. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. If this was the way to immortality for a rich man, it is also the way for a poor man if he sells what little he has and gives to the poor folks. Let me ask you a question. Could that buy him a place in heaven? Such thoughts are what? In conflict with the many instances in Scripture tell us that it is impossible for any of us to buy our way into heaven. That's why it's important. You can't take a text out of a context and create a pretext. You must examine every verse on this subject in order to come with a valid conclusion regarding doctrine. For by grace, you and I have been saved, assuming you've humbled, repented, believed, received, and become. Saved through what? Faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But Peter said to you, your money perished with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. Where did I take that from? Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Here's another verse that the self-righteous could look in order to try and buy immortality. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. If, folks, this verse is saying that the reward is everlasting life, it's an even better deal than having to sell all of your possessions and gifts to the poor. His chief sin, the rich young ruler, loved his money. That was his God, and that was his chief sin. But look now at what Jesus said to you and I, every believer. So likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. When we come to Jesus, we're acknowledging that God gave us life, everlasting. Everything belongs to him. We own nothing. I own zero, folks. In the light of the cross and the gift of salvation, I gladly forsake the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's biblical repentance. Remember that godly sorrow. Humble, then repent, then believe, then receive, then become. Still, the most of this sinful world is deluded into thinking that a ticket to heaven as cheap as a pair of Walmart socks. All they need is be a good person. No, there's none righteous. Who's kind to others? They believe this even though most of them know Christ died for our sins. But have found by experience that when I press them or anyone that comes in to see me as to what Christ's death means, most of them really don't. Have no idea. They think Jesus left us an example of showing patience and love while in suffering. They are in complete ignorance as to the atonement. That's why I talked to the other about Yom Kippur. Fortunately, God has placed something in the hands of the church that shatters the self-righteous. When the children of Israel created the golden calf, Moses came down from the mount and did what? Threw the Ten Commandments. Yes, he threw the Ten Commandments. So let me ask you a question. Have you broken any of the Ten Commandments? Do you know the Ten Commandments? You should have no graven image before him. No carven image. Do not take the God's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt what? Lie, false witness. And now the tenth one is covetous or covetous. Have you broken those? I think most of us have broken those many, many times over and over and over and over. So there's no clue how we should deal with stubborn sin and self-righteous as the children of Israel. It's rooted in idolatry. Idolatry isn't just making your own image out of wood or stone, or I said the first two. It's also making up a God in our own mind. Sinners created an image of God that is congenial, loving, and kind. That God would never be angry, but that God doesn't exist. He is just a figment of the imagination. So the way to deal with self-righteousness is to bring Moses down from the mountain. Let your heart see his fiery eyes. Check out Romans chapter 4, verse 15. We should never be hesitant to put the fear of God in the heart of sinners. This is why I say that every week. A lot of people don't like that. I'm telling you the truth. You should be excited about that. You should recognize that. Because the fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The way to put a healthy fear of God in any one sinner is to open up what? the Ten Commandments, as Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. This is foreign to most contemporary churches. But the first step is repentance. That's that godly sorrow. But you have to recognize you're a sinner. And a lot of people think they're pretty good. That's a pompous attitude. That's why humility is the first step. So call us. We have lots of resources. Again, I don't do the convincing, the convicting, the converting, or the saving. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. But you know something along that topic? Really, only about 25% of Christians say they're really a sinner. They don't actually believe they are a sinner. That's hard to believe. So we'll talk more about that next week. So I'm running out of time. There's a survey done that I want to share with you. So thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. And remember this, it's the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Best friends tell each other secrets.